I've got an unusual message. As a matter of fact, I preached this message. I had my tithe out ready to put in there, so I'll lay it there. Hopefully y'all still take tithes, amen. Go in some stores, they don't even want change. I preached this same message in Dover, Foxcroft, Maine. There was a young man there on Tuesday night, Brother Frank, when I preached this. He got under such conviction. He stayed at the altar for 45 minutes. It was just amazing that the power of God came in that place. And those people up there, now there's some folk that love God. And I thoroughly enjoyed being with them. If you have your Bible, I hope you don't have any trouble finding Genesis 1-2. It's right after the previous verse. If you miss that, you'll be in the context or the content. Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form. I can't imagine what that would have looked like. I honestly can't. And void. Now, it's one thing to be without form, and then it's another thing to be void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. My emphasis this morning is going to be on two words, of God. As you that know me know, I love word association. I study it. Been doing it now for 16, 17 years. And these two words, of God, of is a gender connection. He put it 989 times in your Bible. And if I know of no other reasons, he did that so you would know what is of God and what is not of God. As a matter of fact, with my travels, and I've been on the road since the 1st of September, I've seen more that's not of God than I've seen that is of God. And that's sad in America. America at one time was a bastion for that, but not anymore. No. Real, true, Bible-believing churches are few and far between. And if God, for no other reason, raised up Trump to be the president of the United States of America, it was to let us know how pathetic that other crowd is. If I know anything about the word perversion, brother, there's some perverted people up there in Washington. Amen. Now, if I don't stir you up with that, you're dead. So in our context here, it said that the Spirit of God, which tells us there is another Spirit at least, maybe more than one. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. As I got to studying that, Pastor, I noticed three times in your Bible that are very, very pointed. And I want you to, if you have a pencil, you want to take note of it, or you can probably watch it again if they're recording this. But three important mentions of these two little words. I'm going to deal with the law of God, the love of God, and the life of God. Now, this is going to amaze you. The law of God is mentioned three times in our New Testament. The love of God is mentioned four times in our New Testament. The life of God is only mentioned one time in all of the 27 books of your New Testament. Isn't that amazing? Did you know if you added those up, that'd be eight times, Teresa? Eight is new beginnings, starting over, resurrection. That's the numerology in the Bible. So, I'm amazed at any time I come to that number eight in the Word of God. So let's look at these three times in the New Testament. You may not agree with me. I may not make you believe what I believe, but I'll make you believe I believe what I believe. Amen. These three times in the New Testament assure me that the law is just as alive today as it was in the Old Testament. You'll hear these so-called Baptists say, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. They don't even know the difference in either one of them. They don't understand grace, much less the law. Now, what I'm going to share with you, you cannot annul this. This is biblical. So I want you to stay with me in this first part, and then it'll get better in the second, and the third part, it'll get worse again. So that's balanced. The law of God. What do you mean by the law of God, Brother Marty? Romans 7:22. Paul said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Did you know that the new man, the one that's been created in Christ Jesus, afresh and anew, who lives inside of this tabernacle, he loves the law of God. He can apply it spiritually to his heart. As a matter of fact, if you know anything and understand anything about the nine fruits of the Spirit, they're attached to the law or the spiritual laws of God. No wonder Jesus said, keep my commandments. Hello? Brother Marty, you're saying we're under those, and now we're not under 613 laws. That's what we're out from under. But we are still under the 10 laws of the commandments as given to Moses. You say, Brother Marty, I never heard that. I don't know if I agree with you. Don't worry, I've had too many disagree with me. It's not going to bother me if you do. Now look at it. Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Your old flesh will never, ever try to serve the law of God. As a matter of fact, your old flesh is depraved and it's going back to the dust from whence it came. And you will never talk it into obeying God. You'll fight your flesh. That's your worst enemy till the day you die. Amen. If you think you've got victory over the flesh, take off your sock and smell your big toe. Hello? Y'all not with me. Look at Romans 8:7. Paul said, here's the answer. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. What you can see and what I can see has never been on God's side. And I'll be honest with you, we may try to be on God's side, but it's a battle every day. If you don't crucify flesh when you wake up in the morning, you'll have to crucify it sometime during the day. If not, God will crucify it. He can make us wish we had not ever done that. See, everybody loves to say, but Brother Marty, we're under grace. We don't act like it. A lot of Baptists don't live like it, that's for sure. Amen? Now, I realize there are people that are out of the services, and don't misunderstand me, but they spoke it could be here. And they may not ever be back. This thing may have been of the Lord in the sense that God is allowing pastors to know who really had the goods and who only made a profession of faith but had nothing to back it up with. They have no love of God. You see, love of God makes you want to do the will of God, which is the law of God. All right, watch. Let's get into the love of God. Four times. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Hope. I have the blessed hope. I think some of you will remember this. I did an acrostic here a few years ago on the word faith. Following always in the hope. I've been following Jesus 53 years. Well, Brother Marty, you never been out? No. If you're in, how can you get out? Hello? You've been in for 53 years, sure. Brother Frank's known me for 40, give or take. And he's been in ever since I've known him. I don't understand this crowd that can be in and out, up and down, over and under. You either got it or you ain't got it. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then and only then are you my disciples indeed. No continue, no got it. Now try going to work and acting like that on the job the way you treat Grace Baptist Church. You say, you're not talking to me. Well, don't listen. I'm talking to the one that hears me. You're not going to get back no time soon, Brother Marty, because I sure won't vote for you to come back. You didn't vote for me to come in the first place. Matter of fact, I'm shocked to see you here. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto... Notice that little word. Have you ever studied that little word out? Us. Not them. Us are the only ones that have the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible said the Lord is long-suffering toward usward. Not them, usward. Not willing that any of us should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's proved that he was not willing for us to... Amen, to perish, Brother Frank. That's the reason you're saved. That's the reason I'm saved. I had no interest in salvation. You're looking at one old boy, somebody said, I bet you couldn't wait till Saturday night. Listen, Saturday night was 7 days a week with me. But I want to tell you something. When God saved me, I made an immediate and an about and a reverse turn in my life, a change, because he gave me repentance unto salvation, and I started going for God. And I have tried to do, in the sense of doing, as much for him as I did or more for the devil. I think that is the desire of every child of God. Amen. Is it against the law in here to say amen? Amen! It do some of y'all good. It'll clear you. You won't have to worry about COVID-19 if you learn how to holler. Amen! If you're a woman, oh, a woman! You're not going to do that because you've been taught all your life to be reverent when you come in church. You wouldn't know how to be reverent if you tried. Hey, listen, you're looking at old boy. I'm emotional. I was married for 51 years. I'm emotional. Praise God, something excites me. I want to holler back as loud as I can to my approval to let it know. I'm glad it got me stirred up. No, they're not with me, Frank. You got to go to preaching against something that you hadn't been preaching against because they're not with you. The carnal mind. See, what's the carnal mind got on it? Everything but God. Amen. Now, I'm not saying this bragging. If you think I'm bragging, then you think what you want to. Every night before I go to bed and I finish my prayers, this is what I say, Lord, wake me up when you want me to wake up, because you know I love to study your word and I like the quietness. Teleprompters do not try to call you at 4:30 in the morning. And sometimes he'll wake me up at 4:30, and that's some of the sweetest times I've ever had with the Lord early in the morning studying. And folk, if you ever get in this word like he wants you in this word, the time will pass so fast, it's lunchtime and you didn't even realize it's that late. It's afternoon. I have stayed in my study over in that little house that the Lord let me purchase as late as 4:30 in the afternoon after getting up early in the morning, and get beyond hunger pains in the physical realm, because the hunger pains in the spiritual realm had overtaken my carnal mind. Boy, there's nothing like it. You ever heard of getting beside yourself? That's exactly what you do. you spiritually get beside yourself, and the old man's put to sleep, and his cravings are put to sleep, and you have awakened to righteousness, and you just, the hunger is there, so you just, you're thirsting after it. Let me deal with the love of God real quick. Not only did he say that, but notice 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word. Now this is commandment. See, the love of God backs up the law of God. There's no other way the law of God can be backed up apart from the love of God. So 1 John 2:5 said, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. Hereby. One of the ways. What do you mean, Brother Mark, keeping his word? Whatever he tells you to do. I asked somebody one time, I said, what's the last thing he told you to do? I don't know. And I thought, well, as a deacon, you ought to know something. Are y'all with me? Hello? Somebody turn the lights on or off. I can't see y'all. If God didn't tell you something last week to do, it may be you don't know the God of this Bible. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. See, if you walk with him, he talks with you. All every day of our life. Somebody said, Brother Marty, after Miss May's been gone over 10 years now, aren't you lonely? Well, I'll be honest. Sometimes I do get lonely in that sense. But my friend, listen to me. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm not alone. I'd rather have the fellowship I have with the Lord than any human being I know of. Brother Frank and I get to talk probably maybe once every couple of weeks, don't we? But you wouldn't want him as your pastor if he only talked to the Lord every couple of weeks, would you? You expect more of him than you expect of yourself. You say, you're judging me. You catching on quick. Love of God. Look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive. Hereby we understand. Hereby we can connect. The love of God, because he laid down his life for who? Us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now this is not going to get tip lifted up in any way in that sense. He and I have probably been friends 28, 29 years. I never will forget when he asked me these words. He may have forgotten them. He said, would you be my friend? And I said, I sure will. And we've been friends ever since. If I ever disagreed with Brother Tip in any area, he doesn't know it. He's been my friend. Every night when I pray for my friends, he's the first name I mention. I'm glad I got a friend like Brother Tip. He said, are you going to stay with me Sunday night? I said, Lord, I'd rather stay with you than an old motel. Lord, you don't know what you'll catch in one of them places. Goes beyond COVID-19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Hello! You come out there so warped, bless God, you'll never get straightened out. Hello! About everywhere I go to a meeting, the preacher said, we can get you a good room or you can stay here in the house with us. I said, I'll stay with y'all. I like refrigerators. All right, let me hurry. What does it mean, Brother Marty, to lay down your life for your brethren? Now, that gets deeper and deeper as you get deeper in the Word of God. But the first step you take in laying down your life for your brothers and sisters, Teresa, is to show them, no matter what they do, what happens to them, or anything, you love them. Love covers a multitude of sin. And nothing like having a friend. And you can lay down your life for that friend. Now, I'm getting into a verse here that I don't know, and I'm not being facetious on this, but I've been a Baptist for 53 years, and I know a lot of Baptists do not understand this verse that I'm going to deal with. I wished I had about a half hour to exegete this verse, but I don't. But I want you to pay close attention. I want you to study it. I want you to look at it. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, Darrell, I got to talk to you. Me and old Darrell are buddies. When I met Miss May, she was working at a notions counter in the dime store. You ladies know what a notions counter is, don't you? That's where I took a notion. I wanted to know that girl. Amen. And I was managing one dime store, and the manager was a Christian. He knew I wouldn't know God in a 40-acre field with a big name tag on. I said, "Who is that girl over at that notions counter?" He said, "I don't know, but she's engaged." I said, "Huh? She's what?" He said, "She's engaged. I mean, to be married?" "Yeah." I said, "You know the guy?" He said, "Yeah, he's in the Navy." I said, "Okay." Took me 30 days. She got on her knees and begged me to marry her. Fell in love with me overnight. I mean, I said, "Girl, get up. Don't mess up your knees. I'll marry you." I proved my love for her. We'd be married 62 years now had she lived. Hello? See, the law of God will never be understood and accepted unless you know the love of God. And when you know the love of God, then you can reach back and grab the spirituality of the Ten Commandments and apply them to your life as you live for God. I wasn't going to tell this, but the Holy Ghost brought it to my mind, Mark, and I'm going to have to tell this. I was rushing coming home the other night, and I got into Tallapoosa quicker than I thought. And I seen the blue light special. I said, "Oh, Lord." I hadn't seen a blue light. I mean, it's been years and years. And he pulled me over at the railroad tracks. And he said, "Where are you going in a rush?" Now, I could have been like the average. But, boy, you talking about humbling down, getting sweet, buddy. I'm telling you, I'm the sweetest fellow you'd ever met that night. I said, "Hey, sir." I said, "I'll be honest with you. I was just trying to get to the house." He said, "I know you were. You know you was doing 60 in a 35? I said, "You know, I didn't see the sign. I'll be honest." He started to say, "At your age, I don't guess you've seen anything." In my insurance, I happened to be a member of this policeman's something other. I don't know what it is. You pay $25 a year to be it. So when they check your insurance, I guess it showed up on that. I don't know. But I was a praying. I said, "Lord, honest to you, Lord, I didn't realize it, and I would have normally slowed down, but I've just had my mind on getting to the house." And I said, "If you'll take care of this, I don't want my insurance to go up, Lord. If you'll take care of this, I promise you, I'll watch that speed coming in. I'll slow down before I get off interstate." It's hard to turn at 60 miles an hour, but you can do it. He come back to the window, and he said, "Mr. Pugh, here's your license back. I ain't going to give you a ticket. Just slow down." I said, "God bless you." "Amen." "Amen." But he looked at me and said, "Yeah, he'd bless you more if you'd obey the law." I'm done. But we got to hit this. It's going to take us a minute. If you can keep yourself in the love of God, you're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life, you won't have any trouble with the life of God. That's the last one. It's only mentioned one time in your Bible, in Ephesians 4:18. Look it up. You need to know where this verse is. What is the life of God? Only saved people have the life of God. He's known as Jesus. Now listen to it in the context. Boy, Brother Frank, I never seen it worded like this till here the other day. Listen to it. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. If you're not an is, you'll never be a were. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He that hath the Son hath life, the life of God. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. My favorite verse that I love to quote, I've quoted it here numbers of times, but I'll do it again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you stand to your feet, please, while Brother Keith comes with an invitation? I don't know you. Some of you I remember and know, but I don't know most of you here probably. But I want to get as personal as I can get, because the Holy Ghost definitely laid this on my heart. They could easily be someone in this service this morning. And we know you don't fool God. It's impossible to fool God. But you say, "But Marty, you don't know me, but I don't have the life of God because I don't have the love of God. I've never been born again. I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior." And I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm going to ask you, while we have this invitation, there's an altar here. I want to tell you something, friend. I've studied this Bible for 53 years. There's one thing I can tell you. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And that generation is my generation. It's the generation I'm living in. When that was given in May of 1948, there were three generations living. My grandfather's, my father's, and my generation, Brother Frank. And my father's generation is dead and gone. My grandfather's generation is dead and gone. And my generation is the generation that he said he was coming back in. Now, he said it to the Jews, but I'm living in that generation. That's how quick, friend. That's how quick. Whether or not the president gets reelected, that's immaterial. That's not my point of view. My point of view, I ask you, are you ready to meet God? Is it well with your soul? I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What about yourself? The altars are open. Brother Frank will gladly talk with you, whoever it might be.